Hey guys. Thanks for coming out. Guys, I have like one announcement, which I never do. Love It or Leave It is going to be at the Now Hear This Comedy Festival in New York on Friday, September 8th. And you can get tickets. Great, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. She just loves festivals. And that's it. That's my only announcement. Let me bring out our panel. She co-hosts the Rana and Beverly podcast, which is awesome. And you can see her on Veep, Jessica Chaffin. He has a brand new Netflix special. Rory Scovel tried stand-up for the first time. I watched it. It is hilarious. Rory Scovel. You know him from The League, Veep, and How Did This Get Made? Paul Scheer.
MAGA.
Fair enough, fair enough. I stand corrected.
Gonna finally get on this show and talk some sense into you liberal assholes. Fucking serve you up some slice of reality pie.
We're already having so much fun. Okay, let's get into it. What a week. Trump Care, the Senate version. Yes, boo all you want.
Give it a chance. I'm with Paul on this one.
I like it because it's brief. Only 142 pages. They figured it out. It's shorter than a John Grisham novel.
But more people die. So, after a very secretive process, the bill is finally loose. It is in the wild. Let's start with the substance. So, for the most part, you know, the basics are still the same. It's a massive tax cut for the wealthy to pay for benefits cuts. They kind of adjusted some of the benefit cuts. So one thing they did is they pushed the rollback of Medicaid later, but they made it steeper. Interesting. So there's some changes to
layaway.
Yeah. Losing health care on layaway.
Yeah.
So the Medicaid is phased out in the new Senate bill between 2021 and 2023, but the cuts are more drastic. A study just came out that said the Senate bill could result in 18,000 to 28,000 deaths by 2026.
Can I ask a question about this? Because even in hearing that, I feel like people don't take in that thought. Like, they're like, I'm healthy, great. And I don't think that anyone, like, well, not gonna, death isn't going to happen to me, so I'm fine. And I think there is a real disconnect to those things. Like, oh yeah, what can you do? But like, it makes the hardest thing to understand this bill.
Well, it's also, it's such a dramatic thing to say out loud. So Bernie Sanders tweeted this earlier today, said this very study could lead to, you know, dramatic numbers of people will die as a result of this bill becoming law. And Senator Orrin Hatch, who is, I believe, one of the people who was at the very least working on this bill, who was confronted by Claire McCaskill for how the process was not public, said, it was only a week, but once again, we're back to accusing each other of things like this.
But I think those two things are the inverse of each other. I think it's the same as that thing, I'll be perfectly blunt about this, which is where you're like, why do poor people vote for rich people? And it's because they believe they could be a millionaire someday because this is America, and that day could be tomorrow.
Joe the plumber.
And so, I mean, kind of.
The biggest plumber of all time.
But the hottest plumber of all time.
The third most famous plumber.
After
Mario
Bros. I knew. We locked fucking eyes. And
we knew
we were talking about Mario and his brother Luigi. Sorry.
I think it's the same thing. Where you're like,
well, I just want to
all
make
of
sure.
These people could die, and you say it's not you. You think it's not you. I'm a millionaire, and I'll never die. Welcome to America. It's a beautiful country.
Well, it's also we're just really bad at small amounts of distributed misery, sort of adding up the toll of
right,
that.
Right, this isn't Europe, where people are like, I'm going to die tomorrow anyway, so we should fuck. That's a way to do it too.
I feel like I did not make the most out of my backpacking.
No, that deal is only offered to Europeans.
If you put a baguette in your backpack, that means that you're down to fuck. It's like furries and wearing one of those tails.
Yeah. There is no greater question that we will hear tonight than was Wario a plumber?
And that's what mainstream media is not getting out there.
Thank you.
What is Wario doing? Clearly, he had some sort of competition aspect with his brother. I think they share professions.
Thank you.
Luigi's an artist and Mario's the marketing guy. I think we all know that.
Well, Luigi wants to be an artist, but he's not really being supported because he's needed on the job.
If you've been to Italy, it all makes sense. The whole game makes sense.
So I think we've run this healthcare topic to ground.
But I think this is how I want and I struggle to want to understand the healthcare debate in a more substantive way. Like I understand, like when people give me bullet points, I'm like, wow. But anytime I start to read into it, I'm like, I get lost in it.
Healthcare is a tough issue because none of us want to talk about it, right? We don't want to talk about the fact that we're going to get sick. There was a doctor asked this room full of doctors and said, how many of you want to grow old slowly and slowly lose all your faculties and need round-the-clock care until the moment that you die? And obviously no one raised their hand. He's like, oh, so sudden death at 50 then. You know, there's not a lot of good options. We're all going to need healthcare. We're all going to pay for the healthcare. And so there's two things going on with how the Republicans are selling the bill. One is they just don't accept or refer to the fact that there are trade-offs. That if you're going to cut the spending by $800 billion to pay for a tax cut, there's going to be worse care. And then what you see what happens on Fox News, which is Fox News just doesn't cover it, right? They just don't go into the details of this issue. They spend more time mocking liberals for saying things like 18,000 to 26,000 people may die as a result of the bill passing and how hyperbolic that is without saying, well, hold on a second. You know, what actually is going on in this actual bill?
Well, I think the thing that drives me so crazy, and I know it's like a very broad target to hit, but it's a hypocrisy because, like, when Obamacare was going through, it was death panels. And now it's like, well, come on, guys. But this, you know, like, now you're being outlandish. Like, and I think things get locked in as, like, absolutes. It's sort of like, oh, that's ridiculous. We can't even think about that. But they are real issues, and we're not talking about them anymore.
There's also another bait and switch, which is there are problems with Obamacare. Right, it's not a perfect system. There are places where insurers have pulled out of the markets,
which he says himself and said from the beginning.
Absolutely, and which the Trump administration is trying on purpose to make worse, which is just a form of cruel sabotage that we've really not seen the likes of before. Terrific, but so when they say things like "we're going to put you back in charge," "we're going to get rid of these onerous regulations," "we're going to make it possible for you to get more affordable plans." All of that has absolutely nothing to do with the majority of what this bill does. It's not really a healthcare bill. It's a tax cut bill, and it's a Medicaid cut bill.
Would you call it a wealth care bill?
You know what, Paul? I'm so glad you brought that up. So I obviously came up with this term, which is wealth care. Now, you guys aren't necessarily like people that were like, I worked on campaigns. So let me tell you the idea behind it. It rhymes with healthcare. And the thing that we're trying to evoke
is...
Just one letter different. And the thing that we're trying to evoke this is a bill that cares for wealth, not a bill that cares for health.
Okay.
And we think if we can get people to make that connection, make that turn, maybe they'll understand why this bill is not such a good idea.
I love it.
So here's where the bill is now. It's out. It's in the wild. No longer under the protection of Mitch McConnell. Immediately, four conservative senators came out against it. Cruz, Johnson, Rand Paul, and Mike Lee, all saying it doesn't go far enough to repeal. That's a bit of a... I would not count on those people. Because when push comes to shove, passing the Senate bill does take the country in the direction they want to go. It will steeply cut Medicaid. It will make it possible for states to allow people to allow insurance companies to opt out of things like pre-existing conditions and all the rest. So we don't have to count on them. It's probably a lot of posturing because they know that there's a few, let's not call them moderates, but people that could possibly vote against this, Republicans that are worried that the bill is too draconian. They're trying to sort of pin Mitch McConnell in the middle.
Well, can I ask a question here? Are we just going to get into a cycle where we just start chasing our tail? It's like, all right, so say this bill passes. Then Democrats get in, they repeal this bill, and then Republicans get in, then they repeal this bill. And it's always like pushing the ball down the field because a lot of this doesn't even take place for a handful of years, right? Like,
yeah, so one thing that would happen if this were to pass is we would spend the next 2 years and then the next presidential campaign talking about the need to, whether it's restore the Medicaid cuts, restore some version of Obamacare, or more likely advocating for some kind of public option, a single payer, a Medicare for all. There'll be a big debate about what that'll look like and how to pay for it and all the rest, but Democrats will have a really powerful platform to run on, which is these people took away healthcare for tens of millions of people. We want to bring something else back. But, you know, we had Nancy Pelosi on the podcast, and she said something which I take her at a word. I think this is sincere, which is we don't want the issue. We'd rather save the right. healthcare bill, and I know that you're not saying the opposite of that.
Are we ever going to have a system that can actually work if we keep on repealing, pulling back? Like, because
no,
we're not.
Never.
We're going to get into a system that's so politicized.
So here's the good
this
news.
This is the big issue.
No, I think here's the good news about that. Which is, there is a big change that has already happened with the passage of Obamacare. Republicans cannot pass a law by telling the truth, which is, we don't believe the government has a role in making sure that everybody has health care. So you have to have Donald Trump go out there and say, everybody's going to be covered and Medicaid's going to be fine. And so they've kind of ceded a big part of this argument. You know, you look at this Senate bill, and the conservative critique is that from like a Mike Lee or a Ted Cruz is not totally unfair. It is Obamacare light. You know, it strips down a lot of the expansion and it cuts Medicaid. It makes the subsidies less generous. It makes it possible for insurance companies to get rid of some of the consumer protections we had before. But it's still subsidies. It's still some protection. They even in the way they've crafted this bill, they have conceded a big part of the argument. So that's a really positive sign. Obviously, it's no comfort to the people that will be hurt by the passage of this, which I think brings us to the people that have a chance to actually stop this. So
what happens when it goes to the Congressional Budget Office?
So that's what we're waiting on. On Monday or Tuesday, we will get a score from the Congressional Budget Office. We will find out. So I believe the final House bill, I think it was 23 or 24 million people would lose coverage. We will find out that this number is probably going to be slightly lower, right? That's been their whole plan all along. We don't know. And we also don't know if we're going to find out that it's not deficit neutral and all the other things that Mitch McConnell needs for it to pass. But on Monday or Tuesday, we will get that kind of score. And then he's been pushing for a vote on Thursday. These are the senators that have already expressed concern. Dean Heller said, "It's simply not the answer. I'm announcing today that in this form, I simply will not support it." He also said a lot of other negative things about the bill that were he to flip on would just create attack ad after attack ad. So we have to be hopeful. These people are all looking for some kind of a fig leaf to get to yes. They're all terrified of money being spent against them, but we should be hopeful on Dean Heller, but while keeping the pressure on him. Lisa Murkowski, here's what she said before it came out. "I'm not a reporter, I'm not a lobbyist, so I've seen nothing." So she's not loving the process. Shelley Moore Capito out of West Virginia. There's something...
That's a new name.
She's fresh and new. She's new on the block.
Exciting to take a moment
She's still
for her,
on her first...
It?
First
her
album.
First solo, her first Broadway solo.
Yeah.
She's stepping into the light a little bit.
I don't
bit.
Have a name for an album for her. So she's on the fence. Shelley Moore Capito is on the fence.
Convince me.
Jeff
says.
Flake says, "That's a quick deadline, but we're trying." And then the few of the right-wingers had their own objections, too. So the one thing that we're asking, just anyone who's listening to this, is to go to trumpcare10.org/crooked. There's a lovely video of Tommy and I. Did you guys already see that video? You guys are on it. But if you go to trumpcare10.org/crooked, there are tools there for contacting the 10 Republicans who might possibly either vote no or delay this thing.
And John, you should remind people it's 10, T-E-N, not just the number 10. Just because you're telling this and people can't see the screen. I would type in 10, the number 10.
I want to tell you something, Paul, that's so right, and you're so smart, and it never occurred to us, and we've been saying it on podcast after podcast. Who knows how many people we're losing to some crappy fake
fucking
ad site.
Numbers.
And they're gone. They're not helping. They're on to the next thing.
I don't take...
Wealth cares on you, huh?
I would not be happy with any listeners who are like, you know what I listen to and where I fucking really dive in? But when it comes to troubleshooting, if it's not the number 10, I try zero other options. I literally do not have another path. And I walk away.
I have people who listen and they go, I am such a fan of your podcast. You know what you should do? Geely. Look, we've done it. If you just typed in our podcast name in Geely, it would pop up. People don't go the extra distance. You got to tell them, spell out 10.
People respond to episodes saying we should have someone on who is in that episode. I'm not saying anybody here would do that.
You should totally have Nancy Pelosi on.
Does the capitalization matter?
No. You know what, though? Earlier today, it technically did, and we fixed it.
Oh.
Oh no!
It's like,
oh no!
I don't want to talk about it.
Oh no!
You should have just named it shipburger.com, and people would have just been ba 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 bang done.
We should have done that. I gotta tell you, I'm like, Paul is clinching a brainstorm. That's what I'm learning. So anyway, we're working with Indivisible on this, and you go and there's tools and scripts and things. You can even email like legislative staffers and like. That's annoying to those
I did
people.
Go on
it's very
there.
Good.
One of the scripts was for just like an August Wilson play. And
yeah. Yes.
And I really didn't move my local senator. They were like, "Oh, wow. All right.
Wow, well, this is yeah. This is tense about small town life."
Wow, fences really got to me. I never watched a Denzel Washington film and I think it really had some things to say.
In conclusion, the Senate bill is not good. We have a very small window to stop it.
Make these fuckers cancel their vacation. That's what I say.
I agree. So our only hope is encouraging those four people?
So there's a couple things that can happen. Oh, and the other thing, too, is you can encourage your Democratic senators, if you live in a Democratic state, to do everything in their power, which means filibuster by amendment and other tools they can, because we can either shut this thing down if they don't have the 51 votes, the 50 votes they need to proceed, or we can ideally get this thing slowed down and delayed. And if these senators have to go home for a recess... You know, Capito is a great example. There's a video circulating that you should check out. A lot of people have been tweeting it of her confronted by a lovely woman basically saying, my daughter depends on the Affordable Care Act. Please extend it. And, you know, West Virginia, because we're going to talk to Joe Manchin on Pod Save America on Monday, we were looking at some of the numbers about how much the Medicaid expansion affects places like West Virginia. They saw a 59% increase in Medicaid as a result. I think about a third of the people in West Virginia take advantage of Medicaid in one way or another. And this is something that would gut Medicaid and throw so many of her people off of healthcare, and it would just be unconscionable for her to support it. So I really think that the pressure on these kinds
of
people
can work. But that's such a confusing moment for that state because of Trump's 22-person coal mining initiative. I know it's 70,000 jobs. I apologize for not using the exact number.
So now but that's a big number to you.
Yeah. It's also a state that's totally ravaged by the opioid problem, and that is a tough moment.
Well, the opioid, that's another example. So the
majority
of people
I want my Medicaid if
get,
I'm on pills.
Right, the majority, well, it's not a...
I do. I'm not paying full price on the street for drugs.
That's funny. There are a lot... You know when people talk about how Medicaid helps with the opioid crisis, it's about treatment for it.
Oh.
I thought it was a get some.
Oh.
I actually think it's both.
I'm saying it's about where you are on the journey.
I actually am now realizing...
Never mind.
As an American, I'd like to have the benefits for both.
We're now realizing in this moment that Medicaid is both the way a lot of people get access to opiates and then later procure treatment for opiate addiction. So that's not
Rush
great.
Limbaugh.
When we come back, a segment called OK Stop.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up. Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two forts of the British podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.
And we're back. This week on OK Stop, Tucker Carlson had an immigration activist on to discuss the admittance of undocumented students into the University of California schools. And it was an interesting conversation. Tucker Carlson does his favorite thing, which is kind of makes this, huh? He kind of freezes in a, huh? And then reacts. So let's roll the clip.
You still have a situation where American citizens are explicitly capped and illegal aliens are not. So, like, why wouldn't, as long as we're capping the percentage of a kind of person who can be at the school, why wouldn't you go ahead and give preference to Americans over people who are here illegally? Like, why wouldn't you think that way?
I think you're comparing apples to oranges, and that's where maybe you lack the understanding for this, because the students that are the undocumented students that can go to California schools are considered residents of California, and they've established residency by living in California for 3 years or longer. And they've established residence.
Stop. I do like when a prepared guest comes on these shows. Like, I feel like, good for you. You knew that you were coming on this show, and you fucking had your slam ready to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you can't come on there and not expect to be attacked for this. You need to go. I love that. Like, when they used to serve up Bill O'Reilly, too, but he would just then talk over them nonstop.
Well, yeah, and so Tucker is about to make his fuck you face.
But what? That's what he looked. But what are oranges?
But this is also, this is the definition of elitism in a way, which is that presumably these immigrants are allowed into the system because they've earned their place. And what he's saying is that Californians or Americans should have preference over that. And it's like, are you running an institution where you want the smartest people who are going to succeed? Well, or do you just want Americans?
Well, what he's also doing
is... And why do you take foreign students that pay five times the tuition?
Well, so it's they're paying in-state tuition. So the issue here is that California had a rule, and it said, we preference residents of California for our state schools. And if you are a non-California resident, there's a cap on the number of people that can get in. Separately, California had a rule that says kids who grew up here, spent years here, can apply to college and attend as residents. They've paying taxes. You know, they'll get to this later, but undocumented immigrants pay taxes. And so this is for what we call the dreamers to go to college. And there are people that lived in California and went to high school in California and applied to college like any other California student and didn't make the decision to come here illegally, and then they go to college like anybody else. The bait and switch here is saying, oh, well, if a Missourian or somebody else wants to go, they're citizens and they're getting capped, but these undocumented immigrants are being capped. That's sort of the issue that they're trying to sort of stir up.
That's the apples and the oranges.
Graduating from a California residence, okay, from a California high school, which means
understand.
They are California residents.
I get it. But since we're informing each other about the facts, California is not a country. It's a state. It's one of 50 of those. It's part of the United States. Mm-hmm. And people who are here illegally...
Stop. Is this misogynistic at all?
Now, wait. Hold on.
It's super rude to Puerto Rico, I'll tell you that much.
In a world of fake news, he's just simply stating basic facts about things. And it's killing a lot of time, and soon he'll have to end the discussion, and
he's also wearing his rep tie while he does it.
It's also on a planet called Earth, and we float in the universe. And anyways, that's our time. Thank you for coming on the show.
In one state are illegal in all states because they're not U.S. citizens. So again, isn't it fair for a state school, a government school, to put its own citizens first? Isn't that why we have governments? So they can look out for their citizens.
Okay, stop. That's just one little trick there, right? A government school. It's a California school. So it's the state of California deciding that residents of California get preference over people that live in other states. It has nothing to do with illegal immigration, but they want the issue. They want to stir up the issue.
Which is an interesting moment when you talk about decentralizing power versus central, like federal versus state power, that when it suits them, they do what they want.
Yeah. That's right.
We know, and I think your viewers would agree,
for the moment,
states have certain...
By the way, stop. You can't see this, but her title, it's her name, and it says former illegal immigrant is her title. Her
otherwise known
title.
As American citizen.
Yeah. Former illegal... That is Fox News right there in a nutshell. Former illegal immigrant.
Right? And states have...
Stop. But isn't that kind of all of our titles? So again, I really hate to be on Tucker's side here.
...ability to pass laws in those states, and California passed AB 540, which is the law that allows undocumented students to attend public universities and pay in-state tuition. This law was passed in 2001 with overwhelming support. So in that sense, the residents of California have spoken.
I figured out the rhetorical trick you're using. I'm a little so-so, it took me a while.
Oh.
You're using the term resident, which is different from citizen. A resident is just someone who happens to be somewhere at a moment.
Okay, stop. That's not true. That's not what it means. You go all kinds of places, you're not a resident. I'm not a resident of Harry's Auto. I dropped my car off there this morning. I'm not a resident of Maine. I visited there for a wedding. It's stupid. It's a stupid thing to say.
But he's slow. I'm just catching up. Oh, shucks, Tucker.
His tie knot looks like a string on a balloon. I just want to say that. For the people that are watching.
But what I do like is that his improvisation of what the definition of resident is was so bad that in his brain he was like, this is not flying. You could see him like, no. A resident is someone who's in a place at a time when a thing happens, and that's not a citizen.
This whole thing feels like a show that wasn't ready for Bill O'Reilly to quit. That's all I'm saying. Or to get fired. They're like, we have to do things now. They need them now.
Resident of Buenos Aires
live
on vacation
and to be completely clear about what I'm saying is that in order to be a resident in California to pay in-state tuition at these institutions, you have to have lived in California for 3 years or more, and you have to have graduated from a California school. And by the way, the UC system is subsidized by taxpayers. Undocumented people in California pay $3 billion every year in taxes.
Okay, stop. So, as long as we're just on the subject of Fox News chirons, should also mention, it now just says, campus craziness. Campus craziness.
It makes sense.
And take
that
much
they
more than that in services, as you know,
get.
Which is this. Is it, I mean, if you want to have a math argument with me, I will win on that. I can promise you.
Stop.
I want to have just very
okay, questions. Stop.
Challenge him to a math argument. Let's get him going. Like, I know it's a dumb
thing. Most people don't know this, but Tucker Carlson moonlights at JPL when he's not doing this.
He can calculate that moon trajectory from hidden figures
so fast. Also, it's driving me crazy that there's no period after UNIV of California, but they seem to have paid attention to the rest of the
But I just have one question, too. Isn't this the same thing in all state schools? All state schools give preferential treatment to people in the state that live in the state over anybody else. It's not like uniquely Californian.
No, the thing that what he is talking about is he's smushing two things together.
Yeah.
He's smushing the idea of out-of-state tuition and caps as it exists everywhere. And California passed a law that said
dreamers could go
go to
high
school.
He's trying to stick it to the island.
Because you know what he won't do? So they love to have this kind of a conversation. You're putting American citizens at the back of the line, but what you wouldn't get Tucker to ever say in a million years is, he wants somebody who came to this country when they were 3 years old, went to school all the way up, graduate, apply to college in their state, to pay in-state tuition, and that's when they find out they're undocumented, that they can't go to college, that they have no future. That's what he wants. That's the answer?
Right. That's what
he wants. Because if that's what you think should happen, you should just fucking say it. But of course they can't, because all they want to do is just rile people up and get them excited.
So like, oh my God, I can't believe it. No, a kid from Michigan can't go because some kid...
But also if you're an actual social Darwinist, this is the most opposite argument that you should ever have. Because the thing that you should want is the person that came here climbing over a fence and spent their entire life building every inch of their life to the point that they are admitted to UCLA or UC Irvine or any of these places, and that they want to better the country that has given them the life that they didn't have. It is only good for this country. There's not one ounce of this that is the opposite of that.
And I just to jump in here, because you said he won't say it, but I would like to point out he clearly did, because right here it said campus craziness. And so he did make that point earlier.
But so. As soon as she made a good point, it changed to Tucker Carlson Tonight.
My favorite thing
like,
is that...
Let's dial it back a little.
What you can't see, as soon as he said he challenged her to a math argument, her reaction is so perfect. She's like, you're just an etch-a-sketch of yourself. Yeah. You etch-a-sketched yourself, and you're like, this is as good as me.
Question. Do you think there is a meaningful difference between someone who's here illegally and someone who is a citizen? You call them, we're all residents here, but some residents can, I don't know, vote, own firearms, and some can't. That's a meaningful distinction. Do you acknowledge that distinction, or is it all just nonsense?
Yeah, but
you?
That's not what we're talking about here, right? Like, I came on the show to talk about this law in California and whether it discriminates against U.S. citizens,
here,
which
it's interesting.
It doesn't. Right, like it doesn't discriminate against.
Oh, it doesn't. It's like affirmative action. We're all winners, except some more than others. Right, I love it. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, if we're talking about affirmative action, that's a completely
different thing. I hope you'll come on for that, because I'm sure you'll tell us
we have people.
Everybody wins.
Oh my God, he
is such a clown.
It's just not great, guys.
This is the result of what happens when a person does not get cast in the sequel to Animal House.
Right.
That's what we're looking at. That's
like he grew up and he was like, that's who I want to be. Yeah. Everyone else was like, I want to be in this other fraternity.
They were like, we're
doing
a sequel and we're not using you. And he was like, I'm going to go get a talk show.
Yeah. He saw the movie Animal House and he thought it was about a group of great guys who get abused by these shitty outsiders. And he thinks it's a tragedy to him.
Yeah.
The end of that movie,
they wrecked their parade. They wrecked the parade. I mean, it was a beautiful parade. They got wrecked.
If they had just cast him, we wouldn't be looking at this.
I will say about this kind, there's been a lot of talk about rhetoric and kind of what you're saying, like putting this message in that he's not really saying, but he's trying to get it in there. You know, it creates also this level of abusiveness amongst people. Like my grandmother is a huge Fox News person, and not that she's the barometer of anything. But I prank called her with an Obama impersonator for the Howard Stern show. And the minute Obama got on the phone and he sounded just like Obama, she's like, I don't want to talk to you. I don't like you. And it was like, wow, she's so comfortable. Like the president is on the phone with her and she's like, no, I'm done with you.
That's awesome. Paul, I have a question for you. The phone rang.
Yeah.
And it was Donald Trump on the blower. What's your attitude?
I honestly don't think the first thing out of my mouth is go fuck yourself. Or I would be curious why he was calling.
Wait, would you call him Mr. President?
That's a tricky
it's a
by
tricky
the way,
one.
I'm a person who in a moment like that I'd be like, why did I call him Mr. President? I did. I feel so shitty. No, I don't know. That's a tough one. I feel like he's so associated as Trump. Like, you know, I wouldn't call him Donald.
But you wouldn't remember to call Barack Obama.
I would have
Mr.
a sense
President.
Of decorum. I think I would have a sense of decorum, and I think that's the one thing that we should all have to a certain extent. Like, do I like his policies? No. Do I like him as a person? Not particularly. Like, but I also recognize that he is legally as of today, the president of the United States. You know, and there's a certain level of just respect that you should have for people in positions of authority, regardless of if you like them. I went to Catholic school. I did not like those nuns, but I had to be nice to them, or they'd hit me.
They would hit you.
You know, I mean, yeah, and like, I don't know, hit. But like, I mean, like, there's a certain level, I think, and I think we're that's getting more and more eroded as we go on. It's like, you just can't be a dick to people all the time, right?
Here's why you should ultimately be the most fearful of Trump and who he is. Because we do know how much he loves golf. And we've probably all seen the recent video of him driving his golf cart on a green. But here's what I want. In the world of golf, which is a game that doesn't even test for steroids, it's completely based on honesty. Keeping your score is completely hinged on you. You providing your score. And everyone knows you don't even drive the carts close to the green. He's willing to do that to something he cherishes.
I want you to know
that's
something.
That's terrifying.
I want you to know something. I screamed when yeah. I saw him driving on the green because it's a golf course he fucking owns.
Yeah.
Driving on the green, that is something you just don't see.
Ever.
He probably got confused.
Never. I have seen 98-year-old men walk from the cart path over to the green. And them, you're like, just drive on the fucking green. Jesus.
I mean...
But he doesn't even respect his own body. Why would he? I mean, it's like he eats a bucket of chicken for lunch every day.
But his love and passion for golf, and even that, he's like, yeah, I drive on the greens. Whatever.
I had the same reaction. I thought this is a man who cherishes nothing.
Nothing. Yeah. Nothing.
Except Ivanka.
He does cherish Ivanka. When we come back, a segment called, totally.
Don't go anywhere. This is Love It or Leave It, and there's more on the way.
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two fourths of the British podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.
Now for a game called... Totally. It's fine. Under panelists, under your chairs, you will find a card. That card has a quote. We have a mic in the house. I see a friend of the pod. What's your name?
Hi, my name's Alden.
Alden?
Alden.
Your friends were very excited about you participating in the game.
They're not my friends.
Did you meet them here?
One of them's my wife.
So you're not one of those I married my best friend types.
I married a stranger.
Was it about...
Is she?
Was it about land? You don't have to answer that if it was about land.
It was about surviving the winter.
Okay.
It was about land.
Does she think she married her best friend?
Not anymore.
Okay. So here's how the game works. This week, Donald Trump admitted that he did not have any tapes of James Comey.
A masterful play. From a real smarty pants.
Yeah.
Can we discuss the word tapes, by the way? Tapes.
Yeah, tapes.
Would they have been tapes?
Can I say the one thing about this that makes me laugh so much is that
tapes.
He revealed it now, which means that they took so long to come up with some excuse. But they if he came out the day after Comey testified, he's like, that was my plan the whole time. I'd have a little bit more respect, but this is like a week and a half removed.
No. This was not a strategy, Paul. This was like an accidental thing he said to someone that was talking to him. It was not... I mean, which is what all of his interviews are. It's just someone says something and he keeps talking. It's not
he
tweeted we're going to get it out in this one.
In a fit of pique, he tweeted, Comey better hope there aren't tapes.
A fit of pique.
Then he just hugged his mistake for 40 days.
That's the same. I mean, have we ever come to the bottom of Obama tapped his phones? We haven't gotten into that either, yeah.
Alden. Aston?
Yeah. Alden.
It was so long ago that I've forgotten your name.
I'm Alden Aston.
Aston, Alden, Arton, Amton.
Alden.
Alden. Alden.
With a D.
Alden.
With a D.
Southern?
Hi, Alden.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Southern. Where are you from? Did you forget where you're from? Where are you from, Alden?
It's really complicated.
It really is.
It is about land. Oh my okay. God! How did you guess that?
So I think we've walked into a Don Draper, Dick Whitman situation, and so we're not gonna. We're just gonna let Alden. Well, I did quotes. We're gonna let it go.
We just had a moment, which was like, is this what I tell this family that I'm with, or is it what I tell the other?
I will
family?
Say Alden is in a trench coat with a top hat and dark sunglasses on. Just if you're listening,
that
at home.
Moment you do a public trivia, then remember you're in witness protection program.
So anyway. So, Alden, if that's your real name, this is how this works. We are going to read four quotes, okay? These are four potential explanations offered by various members of the Trump administration for why Trump made up the idea of tapes. Three of them were really said. One of them I wrote today. It is your job to decide which one is fake. Are you ready?
I am.
Okay, let's start.
All right.
Quote number one. The president never claimed tapes because that's an invention of the media. President Trump said that Comey should hope that there are no tapes, but let's face facts, that's not a great headline. President tells Comey to express a hope, but that's the world we live in with the so-called gotcha press. Put a pin in it. Think about it, Alden.
Why was a tweet like truth serum for him? That's concerning. Is that what you're suggesting? We didn't live any charade. We were busy creating jobs.
Heating up.
Thank you for blowing into the microphone, Alden. It was fun that we did that together.
I feel I misread it, Alden, but I hope you still got the point.
Honestly, you made it better.
The reality is that he wanted to make sure that the truth came out, and by talking about something like tapes, it made people, and it made Comey in particular, think to himself that I better be honest. I better tell the truth.
Alden, can you believe that somebody may have said that? That Trump's big plan was to stop James Comey, the man who cannot lie, from lying? James Comey, who we have always loved 100% of the time because he's perfect?
I know, I am.
James Truth Machine Comey.
Yes.
You never know what's happening when you see all that Obama administration, and perhaps longer than that, was doing all this unmasking and surveillance. And you read all about it, you know, the horrible situation with surveillance and all over the place. So you never know what's out there. I will say I read that like 15 times before I had to read it out loud. It does not make sense. So there you go.
But it doesn't not make sense in a way that's become quite familiar to all of us.
Yeah. It's sadly. Saying Obama might have done it, so who knows if it might have happened in this other time that things could happen.
So Alden, do you believe that it was the media playing gotcha, that the president was just too busy creating jobs, that it was a trick to get James Comey to be honest, or... did the president actually think that Obama may have done it? Which one? Three of these really were offered. One of them I made up.
So what are the stakes here?
They're pretty high because you can win a parachute gift card.
What?
Get yourself a robe. Get yourself a pillow. Get yourself a second set of sheets after the way you talked about your wife.
Yeah, there's definitely no phone my wife option for this quiz.
Your other kids and your other family would love those sheets for their bunk beds.
How many
letters complicated.
Can I
get I'm from 17 places.
Alden, I need your answer now.
Yeah, he answered that as if we asked him how to get to his house from here.
When you asked him where he was from, he almost answered it like he was just some kind of resident, you know? Like he's like, I guess I live here now. I don't know.
He thinks he's from the improv now.
I'm from the improv.
I would love to see his letter, like if he mails up his return address is really complicated.
Here.
No,
it just says
symbol,
here.
A graph.
It says Alden here.
I think yours, John, is probably not the most accurate because it's the most plausible.
Alden, you've won the game.
Wow.
Dun, 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 dun.
Alden, thank you so much for playing. Thank you to our panelists for playing the various members of the Trump administration. Let's roll the clip.
Comey tapes. We know they don't exist now. Democrats say the president was trying to intimidate James Comey. Was that the intent a month ago?
The reality is that he wanted to make sure that the truth came out. And by talking about something like tapes, made people have to, made Comey in particular, think to himself, I better be honest. I better tell the truth.
Why didn't the president clear this up 41 days ago?
He cleared it up in due course, but I want to go back to what you just said. I think it's very important what you just said about the FBI director.
Just answer this question, and then we can
go
to your
point. Why was a tweet like truth serum for him? That's very concerning.
Okay, but why did we live this charade for 41 days? If there might be tweets, there might not.
We didn't live any charade here. We're busy creating jobs and rolling back regulations. The stock market and the confidence numbers.
Answer definitively about whether there were audio tapes.
He answered definitively yesterday that he has not made such tapes. He doesn't have such tapes, but there could be.
Well, I didn't tape him. You never know what's happening when you see that the Obama administration, and perhaps longer than that, was doing all of this unmasking and surveillance, and you read all about it, and I've been reading about it for the last couple of months about the seriousness of the and horrible situation with surveillance all over the place, and you've been hearing the word unmasking, a word you probably never heard before, so you never know what's out there. But I didn't tape, and I don't have any tape, and I didn't tape.
When we come back, the rant wheel.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two-fourths of the British podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.
And we're back. This is the rant wheel. You guys know how it works. We spin it, and then we rant about the topic that it lands on. This week on the rant wheel, we have Trump's tech summit. We have Cosby saying he's going to lecture about being accused of sexual assault. We have the word adulting that you see being bandied about. We have special elections in general. We have Uber. We have the play Dear Evan Hansen, which the musical Dear Evan Hansen, which maybe was on the rant wheel last week and didn't get picked, and I thought to myself, let's give it another shot. We have celebrity dog food and Trump's, quote, tapes. Let's spin the wheel. I'm very glad it's landed on celebrity dog food. And let me tell you why. I have a dog. My dog's name is Pundit. She's famous. She's famous as hell. And I used to feed my dog just a brand of dog food because it's a dog and the dog would eat cheese out of a diaper, you know, doesn't care about the packaging. And I did a little research and I bought a nice bag of dog food. But now I work in an office. It's called Crooked Media. And I bring my dog to work, as does my dear friend John, whose dog is named Leo. And I wanted Leo and Pundit to have the same dog food. I thought that would be nice, so we could just put out a bowl of dog food. You don't have to think about it. But the kind of dog food that John feeds...
Two dogs, one bowl, are we talking
two
about?
Two dogs, one bowl, Paul. And the kind of dog food that John and Emily feed Leo
is no surprise.
Is called Delish by Rachel Ray. I would like that to be booed.
Not for me. That's job creation.
So now I buy Delish by Rachel Ray. And, oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm such an idiot. It's not called Delish. It's called Nutrish. And now this is a free ad.
I don't want my celebrity chefs making food for dogs as well as humans because the kitchens are small.
It's called range. If you've got range, you should use it.
And this goes to a larger problem I have.
I think it's complete genius. I would dog buy food. Ina Garten's dog food in 1 second. And I'd eat it myself.
Dog food is... It really needs to be sold more based on how it smells to humans. Agreed. I want more focus on how it smells when I open the bag and a little less focus on how much my dog's going to love it because my dog eats anything that you put in the bowl until it's had it for a while, then it hates it. That's it.
That's why I'm a big fan of snossages because it smells like little pigs in a blanket. Pop them in, they're great. Until you taste them, then it's gross. It's like Play-Doh.
One for me, two for you, dog. Let's spin the wheel. This has run its course.
Hit that wheel! Evan Hansen.
Oh, celebrity dog food again.
You know, somebody, some very smart people on the internet have been like, it's not a real spin. It never lands on anything twice. Smart. It has landed on special elections. I am fucking sick of losing special elections. Yeah. Let's just have the... Let's.
This week was a real cock punch.
Saddest topic on the wheel.
It's just keep on... I feel like this is where I feel like I'm losing hope. I'm like, oh boy. It's like there just seems like no... There's no wins going on.
And it's all... Right, we get a lot of
I'm
moral
not sick of winning.
A lot of moral victories.
Yeah.
A lot of... That's almost, that's a good sign. And I know that that's true deep down. But it is nice to really get a real victory.
And the fact it was bigger than people expected is like, oh, it's going to be close, like 800 votes. It's like, eh, no, it wasn't that close.
But this speaks to your point about the odds that you were talking about, if I dare I say, yeah, before the show, where you were saying that people only understand 1 in a million and 50-50. Yeah. And that this is the kind of thing that's preying on that part of your brain, where you're like, it's a competition. You think that one person just has to pull ahead. This is the only hope that we have.
Well, yeah. I mean, look, these were four really hard. We had four of them, and they were all really hard districts. And we got so close in Montana. We got close in all of them, basically. I mean, we tightened
the
gap by so much.
We lost to a man who body slammed a reporter the day of the voting. We lost to a woman who said, I don't believe in equal a livable wage. Like, these are
these are all things I want to hear, Paul.
Anyway, I'm sick of these races. I'm sick of $20 million on one House race. These poor people in these districts are just putting signs up on their door that's like, leave me the fuck alone.
Yeah.
That's it. That's it. No more special elections. Let's do it all at once. Let's spin it again. If it doesn't leave on...
Wait. I'm into it.
It has landed on Dear Evan Hansen. Yeah. No. I'm kidding. It did, and I'm not cheating. It landed on Uber.
Did you hear that the CEO of Uber left and then Bill Cosby took over? And
yeah.
It's really excited for that.
Big move. Big positive move.
He's still on the board.
It is amazing what it takes for someone to lose their job at Uber.
Yeah,
it is pretty gross what was going on in that company.
And wasn't there a whole letter writing campaign internally after he was fired, like, bring him back?
Well, it's only been that like just 3 happened.
Days. That is right? I would keep an eye on those guys. Yeah. And how about the fact that in the meeting where they were announcing that they were making a bunch of changes, did you see this? So Arianna Huffington is speaking to the crowd, and she's like, we're going to make a lot of changes, including adding some women to the board. Okay. And then one of the guys like, that'll just be more talking. Like, what is Larry the Cable Guy doing on the board of Uber? And how do you not know not to say that in the meeting about your sexist corporate culture? That is incredible.
In fairness to that man, he was a 75-year-old white person who had done nothing but make money and was born to money his entire life.
In fairness to him, he was speaking his truth.
I mean, he literally lives by ride or die.
The most surprising thing I heard in all of this was that Arianna Huffington is Travis Kalanick's mentor. That she has his ear. I found that really surprising.
Yeah, they're
like
buddy,
for
they're
a
buddy.
Long time, not just now. Where was she during all of this?
Well, it's the kind of thing like, she's really neat, he's really sexist.
There are like, a couple. Where has she been until now?
I just want to...
Getting sleep.
The real story to me is the offices of Lyft. They're just like, yeah! That's a fucking party every day.
I don't think so.
For the listeners, like, Paul did a masturbation-type motion.
They're jerking off on their own computers. Like, well, buy more! Because we're going to have so much money.
I think, like, Lyft doesn't have to do anything. I think this brand 100% survives this problem. I think they replaced this guy, and this brand survives it, and we all forget about it.
I did have that terrible moment, though, where I had to reinstall Uber because I was in a place where Lyft didn't exist, and I didn't know how to get a cab, and I felt really shitty about it.
I did the same thing. It was like, well, I gotta get somewhere.
It was a real, like, it was a real moment
and a
where
taxi
I'm like,
wasn't an option.
It was not. There was no
actual taxi.
But it was the worst feeling watching that little full circle get full on my iPhone. I was like, fuck.
And then they had you again.
They did, but I put it in a different folder.
Good for you. Can we
spin it one
more
time?
Not easy to do.
You put it in the math folder in case a woman wanted to have a fight with you. She would never.
You want to have a math fight?
Let's spin it one more time.
Can we just talk about Dear Evan Hansen, or does the wheel have to dictate it?
If it doesn't land on it this time, we will just talk about it. I'm fine with that. It's not my show. I can do whatever I want.
No,
we're not doing that. We're going to talk about Dear Evan Hansen.
Yay!
Dear Evan Hansen, to me, is like a musical version of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
So this is the thing about Dear Evan Hansen. I have complicated feelings about it. It has some... I want to just be very sensitive because I think that it has some wonderful songs, and I am a gay person, and I'm not going to sit here and say that there aren't some wonderful songs.
The mom song... broke me. That was the song that broke me.
Beautiful. The first two songs of the musical, and who's the lead in that?
Ben Platt.
Ben Platt is fucking amazing.
Amazing.
So this is not
He's playing you
actually,
in the movie version of your life.
His best friend is great. I
everybody's
you know
great.
That, right?
What?
He's playing you in the movie version of your life.
That means a lot to me.
Yeah.
I think he's handsome and you know that makes
a lot of sense. By the way,
they do have
a beautiful wheel in the Broadway production.
It's
where
magnificent.
He spins.
Well, the wheel,
the real
like,
wheel.
Yeah, the real wheel.
The director had this concept about how the wheel is really about life, and the wheel becomes sort of central to the music.
He spins the wheel, and it's a different part of your life that gets.
And wheels should be hard to lug around. They should. It should be worth the effort. Yes.
So, Dear Evan Hansen, this is not a black and white situation of criticizing Dear Evan Hansen, but. We'll say this. It's sort of about a sociopath who is lovable because he's nebbishy. You know? It's like, what's the message exactly? I don't know if you've seen Dear Evan Hansen, but he pulls some fucking shit, and he should not have done it.
That's what I'm saying. And spoiler alert, it leaves on a way where there is like, yeah, I guess we did that. Like, there's no comeuppance to the main character, ultimately.
This main character, paid by the wonderful Ben Platt,
deserves that Tony.
Wonderful songs, does the craziest and most evil thing a person could do to a family in mourning. And the moral of it is, as long as you feel bad, everything turns out okay. And it's a little uncomfortable how much New York fell in love with it. Made me very nervous about their sort of moral center. You know what I mean? Did you have that feeling?
I did. No, that's what I was like. I didn't know what I was about to see. Like, you're going to cry. You're going to cry. Get the tissues ready. You're going to cry. I didn't have... And so I was like, what is this story? And then I was like, oh, this is like... I'd say Curb because it felt like an episode. It's like, oh, this guy's lying. And it's like, he's putting his... Yeah, it's a sociopath. It's a totally different story than I ever thought it would be.
And I did
At least
cry.
He's a teenager, though.
Yeah, I guess so.
I cried a bunch.
I cried at the mom song big time.
I cry very easily.
Okay. I cry easily now with kids. I'm always crying.
Do you cry now because of kids? Because you're tired?
Oh, God, yeah.
Or because you're sentimental? Or is it both?
No, I think I'm just more open to... Like, I'm just like... I'm wearing my heart on my sleeve, people. No, but it's true. Like, I'll see something now. I'm like, I'm wrecked. Yeah. Like, yeah. But yeah, I think I was maybe... People told me I was going to cry, and I think I was fighting that off. But I'm a person who's like, I can cry at like Transformers.
But
I'm
also
like,
it's
oh,
a,
that girl did love that
but
robot.
It's a Broadway
Canopy's
musical.
Dead.
I cried
it's
at the end of Bicentennial Man.
It's the most manipulative form ever.
Yeah, 100%. I will do that. I will cry at
this. It's a manipulative form.
It is. It is.
Yeah.
It's tugging the heartstrings.
Yeah.
You know?
But I really do not
know anything about this musical. If anyone's like, did the one guy leave? I am still here. I do not have
You'll
anything.
You'll see the touring company when it comes to Greenville.
Based on what you have learned, I would like you to tell me about Dear Evan Hansen.
I think from what I gather, he breaks into a house, grabs a pen and paper to write a friend a letter, and the family discovers that he's doing that. And they're like, hey, by the way, our dog just died. And he's like, I don't know why you brought that up. Everybody's clothes off now. And you're just left there going like, but what was he going to write to his friend back home?
You're 90% close to
it. Yeah, you are too close for comfort.
I will say, though, I mean, we're making fun of it and we're kind of ripping on it a little bit. I love, like, Mike's theater experience in there, loved it. Listened to that soundtrack on my phone.
Absolutely.
Like, great songs, great everything. But when you take a step back from it, you go, huh, okay.
It's like you can get away with anything as long as you're kind of awkward.
You're just sort of like, oh, shucks, I fooled a family with a dead kid for a while.
Weird vibe.
So I was off. I was a little off. Okay.
You were close.
Yeah. All right.
Yours was the plot of The Ref. Is that what that
I think
movie
it was?
Was?
And that's the only movie back. I've seen. That's the only musical I've ever seen.
Rory thinks they're all The Ref. And that's our show. I want to thank our panel, Jessica Chapin, Rory Scovel, Paul Scheer. I want to thank you guys all for coming out. Hi.
Hi. So we've been focusing a lot on healthcare and like Russia and all this stuff's like super important, but also like I'm a teacher, so I'm like personally invested in the matter. But like, aren't the people that are like growing up and like going to school and like becoming humans, like that education process that Betsy DeVos is in charge of, like what should we be talking about besides like educational civil rights and like students with disabilities should be like supported? Like what should we do?
Yeah, no, I think that's a great question. So the good news about this is that the Department of Education is the weakest department in the federal government. She doesn't have that much power over school districts and what happens at the local level. I do think right now the two biggest issues in terms of what's happening at the federal level for education outside of specific education policies are Medicaid is how a lot of kids with disability get help in school. I'm sure that's something that you see every day. So that's like a really important thing. I don't think people realize just how much Medicaid has woven into the fabric of the way people with disabilities function. It helps people get to work. It provides, you know, support so that people can go to school and have jobs and like have a life. So that's a really important part of what's going on. And then second, you know, the other thing that I just think about all the time is I remember Bill Clinton getting inaugurated when I was, I think, in elementary school, and like that like left an impression on me. And like I worry there are a ton of kids who are going to spend the formative years of their life thinking that this what's happening right now is the way it always was and the way it's always been. I mean, one of the things about being a kid, as long as your life has not been sort of, and too many kids have terrible things happen to them, but a good childhood, part of the experience is that things are always the same, right? It's like, that's it. Things don't change. Your parents don't change. You know, people are old, and that's what your teachers are always your teachers, and the president's always like this. And just, I worry about what it's like for kids to grow up in a world where Donald Trump is president. I'm really scared about what the effects of that are going to be.
Hey, I'm Chase.
Hi, Chase.
Just a quick question for your personal opinion. I know it's early, but how much of a real chance does this guy, Randy Bryce in Wisconsin, have against Paul Ryan?
That's really interesting. So I don't know if you guys saw this, but Randy Bryce, a.k.a. Iron Stash, he put out this ad. He's an iron worker. It's a great ad. If you haven't seen it yet, you should go watch it. But it's basically, he has this great line, which is something like, why don't we trade places, Paul Ryan? You work the iron, I'll go to D.C. Oh, my God. Even just saying it, how cool is that? Paul Ryan working the iron, I also would want to see that. We don't have to like him, but Paul Ryan's handsome. He's got a hard hat. It's a little bit hot. Maybe somebody brings him an iced tea. Didn't think it was going to go that way. I didn't think it was going to go that way. To your question, Randy Bryce, I think he's got a shot. There's going to be a primary, and we'll see what shakes out of that primary. I think Randy Bryce, I think it'd be, he's great. I think there's probably going to be some other great people in that primary. But regardless, Paul Ryan's in an R plus 5 district. John Ossoff lost by 4 points in an R plus 23 district, right? In Montana, the swing was 7. I mean, the swings have been well above 5 points. So we got a real shot, and it would be, look, winning the House would be wonderful. And I don't, look, if Paul Ryan keeps his seat and we win the House, that's terrific. We'll all be fine. But what a little feather in our cap to kick that guy out of Congress. And then how good will it feel to know that Paul Ryan has to lower himself and make several million dollars a year doing whatever you do after you're Speaker of the House. So joke's on him. No justice. We just have to win. I have nothing else to say. End of show. Thank you guys for coming. Have a great night, guys.
If you guys like Pod Save America, please consider subscribing to our Friends of the Pod program. So Friends of the Pod get lots of stuff. You get more Pod Save America. That includes our new show, which is called Pod Save America Only Friends.
It's where Dan gets naked.
Where Dan gets full frontal nudity, but mostly it's a bi-weekly subscription-exclusive podcast that is basically Pod Save America, but behind a paywall. So it's a little bit looser and more fun. And it's Lovett and Favreau and me and Pfeiffer and then other Crooked hosts. We go deeper on the news and cover more stories. You also get Open Tabs, which is a weekly behind-the-scenes newsletter from the show. Plus, you get ad-free episodes of your favorite Crooked podcasts and all kinds of other stuff. Dan will come to your house and clean it once every quarter.
Yeah, clothed.
Dan is very busy, clothed only. But along with just getting great content, becoming a friend of the pod, joining our subscription community is the number one thing you can do to help us grow, to help independent progressive media. So if you've ever thought about doing it, if you ever wanted more Pod Save America, consider going to crooked.com/friends and becoming a friend of the pod.